Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm live, right?
Yes, you are.
Okay. But yeah. In Christ. a note about him. I always kind of like to look down at the bottom, the small part, the small print down there. You notice who wrote that, right? Francis Scott Key. Yeah. A lot of little information, those little print things. Once in a while I take a look, you'll see even when it was written. And sometimes you'll see like something like, I don't know, 4th century. No specific date on that, but somewhere in there. Good morning. It's good to see all of you. This morning service, we're celebrating still the 4th of July, our nation's birth, and we are thankful to God for His many blessings over the centuries that He has given our nation, and we pray that He will continue to do so. Let us make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father,
I am a poor, miserable sinner. Confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee for your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the weak, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, before sin and
upon this your confession, not by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will sing to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, your mercy attends us all our days. Be our strength and support amid the wearisome changes of this world, and at life's end, grant us your promised rest in the full joys of your salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Zechariah chapter 9, beginning with verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 7, beginning at verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise.
Alleluia.
I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them. to little children. Yes, Father, for so was your grace, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Together in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophet. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I'm going to pose a question. What happens when imperfect men judge imperfect men? Anybody want to answer? There's a lot of imperfect judgment. Yeah. It's one of those things I guess we all find ourselves doing, though, isn't it? We always judge, but we have certain measuring sticks by which we judge others. And I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It all depends what it is you're judging. For instance, if you're judging someone's word, whether or not that person is speaking God's word, then that's a good thing if you know God's word. Of course, you can hardly judge someone based on what they're saying when they claim it's God's word and you don't know God's word. Makes sense? You know, that's kind of the way it goes. But everything in life, needs some kind of measuring rod. See, I change it from stick to a rod. I'll get to a yardstick in a yard. I don't know. As I was looking at this, at the readings for today, it's kind of hard to get away from Paul's argument at times, and yet you want to interject something in there. And one of those things, like in today's reading, is Paul's usage of the word, well, it's sin in me that's doing all this stuff. Now, he's not denying that he's responsible. He's trying to make a distinction between God's good and holy law and what we wind up doing, even though we assent to God's law being good. That's our measuring rod, by the way. That being good and holy and right, we agree with that, and as hard as we try to keep that law, we fail. And so Paul's question really is telling you, well, why is that? Why can't I do that? And then I started trying to pose it a different way, and I just kind of bear with me a second here. Let's say a high school Christian teenager. He grows up learning about God and has the desire to be without sin. Sound familiar? I mean, we all go through that. I mean, if you were a Christian as a teenager. If you weren't, then this don't apply. But let's say a young fellow or gal of faith, and they're brought up in the faith. Their parents teach them about God on a daily basis. They teach what God's word says. And as youngsters, we're real good at understanding, because our parents kind of instill this in us, what is right and wrong. At least I hope parents are doing that. I mean, but we still want to do it anyway. You know, like mom says, don't touch the stove, it's hot. And so you go and you touch it because of sin. It's sin in you. I didn't do it, it's sin in me. I rode my motorcycle when it was still pretty new at the time over to a friend's house. We're having a gathering. The kids were confirmed that Sunday. And one of the older kids, he had already graduated high school, I think, actually. And I had confirmed him before. He's looking at the pipes on my bike. Now, you know those pipes are hot. And his dad and I are standing there watching him as he stoops down and he puts his finger on it. And we're looking at him, what, Brian, what'd you do that for? He said it didn't look hot. He just wanted to be sure. But you know certain things you don't do. You don't touch something that's hot because you're going to get burned. But our parents teach us other things, and we listen to them, and we grow up, and we try to do, you know, and follow the rules of the house. That's one set of rules that we are given. Now, our parents also teach us God's rules, God's law, which, by the way, is hopefully what the parents' rules are based on. And we listen to them. And then when we go to school, our teachers also teach us the rules whereby we live as a people. Good citizenship. Used to be a grade there, citizenship. Always got an A. That's the only A I got, but P.E. So we learn, right? We learn right from wrong. And we listen to our pastors as we're growing up, and we learn about God's word and his laws. But sometimes for a young Christian, and even for older Christians, we get stuck on the law part. And then we become frustrated because we know as Christians we ought to be keeping God's commandments. But as much as we try, we fail. So this high schooler I'm talking about, he desires to do good, and he finds that he is losing the battle against his own sinful desires. It keeps popping up. No matter what this lad does, the boy always, though, returns to God for help, pleading with God to forgive him and begging God for strength to overcome and promising at least to himself that he will no longer return to the sins of the flesh. It's a constant struggle. A constant struggle that this teenager will learn is not overcome by our will. As much as we try, as much as we want to, we just find ourselves in despair. What can we do? What can happen? What can change this problem that we have? Well, some people have turned away from God to solve that problem. It's much easier not to follow God's way than to follow it, because the struggle suddenly ends. You know, we get tired of the struggle, don't we? It just keeps throwing us backwards, it seems like, and the struggle is the struggle. I am so tired personally of the struggle. I am tired of all the stuff going on in the world today, and I see evil seemingly triumphing. And I'm tired. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of listening to the news. It just depresses me. It wears me down. I find myself going to TV, turning it on to see what's happened today, only to discover it's no different than yesterday and the day before that and last week. I'm tired of it. What am I to do? What am I to do? What are you to do? The struggle is there and it's real. The struggle is real. The disease of sin is like a rot. And it just seems to grow. Because, you know, that's what rot does. It just grows unless you cut the rot out. But we can't cut it out. Because the rot is in us. It is sin. That's what St. Paul is talking about. It's not me that does it. I assent to the good will of God in my mind. I do in my spirit. The spirit that God has given me informs me. The spirit of God makes me praise that holy commandments, that holy word of God. And I agree with God. If I can't keep those words of God, if I can't love him above everything else, and if I can't love my neighbor as myself, then I have no business being in heaven. And the law says that. And I agree with it. But that's not God's will. That's not how God is. It's easy to fall into the trap and think that is how God's will is, that God is so demanding upon us that unless we keep this law 100%, we're damned. But that's not how God is. The prayer that Jesus prayed was a prayer he prayed for the disciples and a prayer of thanksgiving, how God reveals himself to little children. You're all adults, but he's talking about you. You are little children. We are all God's children. And we have been made God's children by his Spirit. We know that, that it's God's Spirit because Jesus says it is the Father who reveals the truth to us. The dilemma is there, and St. Paul says, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? And then he follows up with the answer, and it's Jesus. It's always Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Because by our will, by our strength, we can do no good thing. But you know what the world says, and we hear them saying it, especially as you watch the news perhaps and they're talking about the riots, and someone will always say, but you know, people are basically good. See, in order to answer the question about what happens when imperfect men judge imperfect men, we have to understand the truth. Now, I know there are truths that people believe are truths, but I also know that they are not, because they are bound up and based on imperfect people rather than God's Word. One has to look at God's Word to see the truth and to know the answer. If we look at God's Word, we discover that man is not basically good. What we find is that man has a problem. St. Paul says it's sin. We hear people try and describe this goodness in men in this sense, that we all have free will. The answer to that is yes and no. If you are a follower of God, if you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, who has revealed God to us, the true God. He has revealed him to us in himself, in everything he said and did. If you believe in that, then you have free will. But it's only once you're in that relationship. Apart from it, you have no free will. You have free will in one sense that you can follow the rules your parents lay down for you or the government lays down for you. You can choose to either break that rule or keep it. But we don't have the power to choose God. God comes to us in his word and he reveals himself through his Son. This is all God's action. His Holy Spirit reveals this to us. The Holy Spirit creates faith in our hearts. And we assent to God's word. And we praise God and give him thanks for that word, that promise, that salvation we have. Now you have free will to choose, in a sense, good and evil. Now, we know this, but there's the problem. There's the rub, isn't it? The good we want to do, we don't do, and the evil we don't want to do, we keep on doing. That's the rub. But the answer is Jesus. because he has done it perfectly for us. He has fulfilled that law. And he tells us all who trust in him, all who believe in him, will have eternal life. Not by will or might of our own, but by God through Christ. But we receive this in faith. We receive this blessing, a free gift. Jesus tells us in Matthew today, "Come to me, all you who are burdened, who are heavy laden. Give me your yoke." You know what that yoke is? That struggle that I was talking about, I'm tired of, and I know you're tired of. I am tired of it. Well, let go, as the saying goes, and let God. Because that's what happens. You let go of all those past sins. You let them go because Christ has forgiven you of all that. Christ has died for every sin you have committed in your past and in the future, even though you will not keep his law perfectly. That's just the case. Because of sin in us, we are still imperfect. We are not perfect, but we are declared innocent by God. We are declared righteous by God because we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So we have that dilemma in this world that continues until the grave. We are both simultaneously righteous and sinful. Saints and sinners. And that'll be the way it is. But let go and let God. Get rid of the yoke you carry. And Jesus will put his yoke on you. And he says, it is light, it is not burdensome. You know what a yoke is used for, right? It is to guide that beast of burden to plow a field or to pull a wagon. Well, the yoke of Jesus is not burdensome. And we are not beasts of the field. We are created in the image of God. And that image has been restored in Christ so that we may be in the presence of God and receive all his good blessings with joy and thanksgiving. Let Christ guide you. Let Christ lead you. Hear his word telling you your sins are forgiven. Taking that burden off of you so that we can love ourselves as God loves us. That way we can also love others. Because that's the commandment, isn't it? Love others as yourself. Well, first we have to be able to love ourselves. And if we're constantly pushing ourselves down because of sin, then how is it that we can love ourselves so that we can love others? It is through the forgiveness that Jesus gives. Because of the forgiveness we have from Jesus, we know the love of God for us. We know what we are to do. We are to love like our Lord loved us. And we can do that, actually. Because when we realize and see that all of our sins are forgiven, there's no reason not to love yourself. Because God loves you. God has forgiven you. God cares for us. And I know that's true. I know it's true and you know it's true. And because we know it's true, we do love ourselves in Christ because we are a new creation. And we see others who do not yet know him or who now have denied him the one time they knew him. We are called to love them as Christ loved us. To share all good things with those who are cast down, who are suffering, who are in need of help, in need of God's word. We are called to love one another. In doing so, we fulfill the commandments. For when we receive that love that God has given us, how can we not but love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul? Even though we don't do it perfectly, yet God sees it and He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Take the yoke of Jesus, for it is light, it is not a burden. Let go of all your past, let go of all the sin, and see the world through the eyes of Christ. There is much work for the church to do in the world. We don't need to be sitting back. We need to be leading. And we can only lead if we're following the Master, our Lord Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Have is thine alone, and trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. Let's pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the faithful proclamation of Christ's saving name, that God's people may be strengthened in the true faith and His kingdom extended, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the holy Christian church throughout the world and for all who confess the name of Christ, that God will guard and defend us from the temptations of the devil and the world in our sinful nature. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Our God and King, as once your people received you in joy, open our hearts to rejoice in your coming, so that we may meet you in your word and sacrament. For the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith, help us to bless and extol your name before the nations and to declare your salvation to the generations to come, proclaiming that you are merciful and gracious and abounding in steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy, our merciful God and Lord, you are good to all your creation. Continue to bless your church and to provide for her faithful pastors who will preach and teach your word, and church workers who will serve us in your name. Make bold our witness before the nations and help us to act in love toward our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, our Creator and Lord, from you all things come, and to you are all things directed. Provide for our nation faithful leaders who will hear and heed your law. Protect and defend the citizens, preserve the precious gift of liberty, and inspire us to use our freedom honorably. Make us mindful of the heritage of our forebears that our forebears have given to this land, and guide us to be faithful in our stewardship of all the resources you have provided. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
our wise and giving God. You are the God of truth, and in you is no falsehood or deception. Help us to delight in your law, to love what is good and true and right, and to seek after these things. Help us to wage war against the old Adam within us. Restore us when we stray from your word, and forgive us when we give in to the devil's temptations. Lord, in your mercy, our compassionate Lord, we do not suffer alone the pains and afflictions of this life, but we live them out within your grace and are sustained by your mercy. Hear us on behalf of the sick, those who suffer, the grieving, and those to whom death is near. We lift up to you this day, O Lord, Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galvias, Jan Johnson, Bo Wolf, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, and Gloria Havman. According to your will, deliver them from their afflictions and give to all your strength, patience, and hope, that they may endure to eternal life. Show compassion and drive all pestilence from our land. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our loving Father, you have hidden your greatness from our wisdom and made your ways known to children. Guide us to bring our children to the waters of baptism, to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and to know perfect rest and peace within your loving arms. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our gentle God and Lord, you have invited us to come to you with the heavy burdens of this life, that we may find rest and peace in your mercy. Grant relief to those who struggle, supply to them in need, hope to those who fear, and peace to those who are anxious, that we may be delivered from all adversity and brought to everlasting life, where we shall join the saints of old in your presence forevermore. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our Heavenly Father and gracious God, as we come to the table your Son has set, grant to us faith and repentance, so that we may receive with joy and thanksgiving his flesh in this bread and his blood in this cup. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we have received with our lips we may keep in holiness of life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things, blessed Lord, we pray, that you would grant to us according to your merciful goodness and for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We join in hymn 618.
Thank you.
Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, goodness, whom loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Pretty good.